Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode. It's also a 12 Days of the Comic Source episode. So I'm going to be talking about a Superman holiday story. This one comes from the DC Universe DCU Holiday Bash Special from 1997. It's called The Benefaction of Peace. It's written by Barry Jameson. We have Graham Nolan on pencils, Joseph Rubinstein inking, Jason Wright handling the colors, and Albert de Guzman handling the letters. And the reason I wanted to talk about this story is because it's the story of Superman's first Christmas in Metropolis. And it kind of goes to, I think, something that a lot of people kind of deal with at the holidays, and that's being alone. You know, not having your family around, not having your friends around. For people that don't have extended family, or they're estranged from their family, or, you know, they just don't have people to spend Christmas with for whatever reason, it can be a very lonely time. And especially this year, 2020, you may have family. You may have family living in the same town, but you just don't feel comfortable. You know, maybe one of your family members is high risk for COVID, and you don't want to take the chance of getting them infected. You're being responsible. I thank you. You're doing the right thing. Better to miss 1 year of holiday cheer and have them around, you know, for the rest of their lives and the rest of your life. And hopefully that will be a long period of time, and you get many more Christmases. Better to do that than have kind of the short rewards that I think far too many people are focusing on. People not wanting to sacrifice any sort of freedom and that sort of thing. And they're being selfish. You know, they're not thinking long term. It's all about short term rewards. And that's not a mature way to handle it. So I think anybody who's doing the right thing, again, all credit to you for keeping your family members safe. So let's go ahead and get started. It's dusk, December 24th. It's Christmas Eve. And we see this man. Looks like he has a blanket around him. It might be a coat, but it looks like a blanket. And he's standing on the top of the Daily Planet building. He throws the blanket over the side, and he has tears in his eyes. And all of a sudden, a voice off panel. I mean, he's standing on the ledge, clearly about to jump. And a voice off panel says, "Merry Christmas. George, isn't it?" And the man replies, "Yes." He said, "Well, what are you doing, George?" And he says, "Well, gee, my wife, she left me. And Christmas was going to be too big, too empty without her. Leaving with a bang seemed, well, it seemed like the only thing to do." And Lois says, "Well, you know, loneliness isn't the end of the world. You can't let it kill you. You do something about it." "You know, George, I've interviewed Superman. I've lost track of how many times I've interviewed Superman, but would you believe even he gets incredibly lonely at times? Imagine that. Superman himself gets lonely. As a matter of fact, I remember a story he once told me about a Christmas really early in his career that he spent very lonely indeed." And so we flash back. It says a Christmas day passed. Superman is flying up to actually catch a window washer as he's falling. And Superman says, "Well, what kind of Scrooge have you working on Christmas Day, friend?" And he says, "Well, actually, last week's ice storm did a bit of damage, and I volunteered to work today for triple overtime, of course. I've got 6 kids at home, and I want to give them everything I can for Christmas. You know how it is. Thanks for the save." And as Superman flies off, he's thinking, "You know, unfortunately, I don't know how it is. I'm so new to Metropolis, I haven't had the time to really get to know anyone." And he goes on to say, "That's why I made myself a promise last night. I really hated ducking out early on the Daily Planet Christmas party, but I was having trouble dealing with it. You know, being my first Christmas in Metropolis, and I knew I was going to be alone. I had to do something to take my mind off it. And normally, I consciously limit myself on how much I get involved in sort of the day-to-day crime in Metropolis. Otherwise, I would do nothing but fight crime. You know, I wouldn't have time for anything else. But last night I decided that I was going to give Metropolis a very special present, a Christmas without crime." So all through the day, Superman has flying around Metropolis. He's stopping crime. He's thinking to himself, "I've been at this for hours, darting from one crisis to another ever since. Obviously, criminals aren't taking the day off, for example." And he hears an alarm go off right then as he's thinking that. And he flies down to a jewelry store. There's a couple of, there's three actually thieves that are fleeing the store. And they're saying, come on, we'll be out of the county before the cops can finish their Christmas donuts. And Superman is there and grabs them, and they're like, what's he doing here? Doesn't he have a family to be with? And Superman knocks the heads together of two of the thugs, and one of them takes off running, saying, you know, look who's talking. If I don't make tracks, I'll be spending New Year's Eve with Dad in the county jail. And the man who runs off, there's a woman there. She's taking her trash out, and she's thinking, man, what a waste every year. More wrapping paper to throw out, more ribbon. What's this guy running down the street with a gun for, you know? And the guy's looking behind him, looking for Superman, making sure he's not being chased. And she just brains him with the trash can lid with a big bang. And, you know, the gun falls on the ground, guy's knocked out. She picks the gun up, throws it in the trash, and thinks Christmas ain't no time for guns. And as Superman, you know, comes around the corner flying, he says, well, there's the last one. Huh, I guess he must have tripped over that trash can lid. About time I caught a break. And he picks him up to deposit at the police station. So Lois goes on to relate the story, saying, breaks were few and far between as morning stretched into afternoon. Superman tackled every threat from renegade robots to teenage muggers with single-minded, nearly obsessive determination. But so intent was Superman that his solitary focus overlooked the everyday heroism of the very people he'd sworn to protect, whether that be a concerned neighbor dialing 911, a passerby tripping a fire alarm at the smell of smoke, a fed-up community taking back one more corner from the attic makers. And as Lois is saying this, we see Superman stopping robots and stopping a mugging, stopping a runaway train, and then we see that concerned neighbor calling 911 when he sees somebody breaking in to a window from the fire escape. When a passerby does see smoke coming out of windows, and a group of community members are confronting a drug dealer selling drugs on the corner. So Lois goes on to say, but as evening arrived, those parallel purposes were destined to meet on a most unlikely playfield. And we're at a benefit for Feed the Homeless, and the MC is thanking everybody for spending their Christmas and $1,000 a plate to help make life a little bit easier for those less fortunate. And now that the proceeds have been gathered, they're going to give them to Mr. Milton Varney. He was himself a former residence challenged individual, so I guess that's the PC way of saying he was homeless. He's now the assistant to the director of the Center Street Shelter, and he's been chosen as a symbol of hope. He's personally going to take all the donations everyone has made to the shelter. And as he's being handed this big bag of money, I mean, it's right out of Scrooge McDuck's money vault, right? It's this giant burlap bag of money with a big green dollar sign on it. I don't really think they, first of all, nobody would be paying for cash. Not that many people would be paying cash, not even back in 1997. Second of all, you definitely don't put in a giant bag and put a dollar bill symbol on it. That's the surest way to get robbed, right? But be that as it may, as this MC hands the bag of money to Milton Varney, one of the attendees pulls out a gun and says, I've got a better idea, Hollis. Why don't I take them? Unless you want me to make this spokesmodel truly brainless. And he grabs a hostage. And the MC's like, Roland, what's the meaning of this? And, you know, despite his tuxedo, despite his apparent opulence, despite his presence at this benefit, and he's supposed to be, you know, one of the well-to-do of Metropolis helping out the less fortunate. The truth is he's just greedy, and he's had a bad year. He says, it's simple, Hollis, I'm broke. The bold foray I took into the commodities market went bust, and I can't stand the idea of all you bleeding hearts giving away perfectly good money to bums when it could keep me living in the manner I desire, which it will once I get to Venezuela. So this guy is burning all bridges, man. He doesn't care, clearly selfish, definitely doesn't have the holiday spirit. It's not even live and let live. It's don't let live so I can live. And I can live, as he himself says, in the manner in which he believes he so richly deserves. I mean, completely selfish. But before he can harm the woman that he's taken hostage, Superman shows up, heats up his gun with his heat vision, so the man drops it, and Superman says, that's not exactly what I'd call holiday spirit. But the man's prepared. He's like, you know what? I was afraid you might stick your nose in this. That's why I took precautions. And he opens up his tuxedo, removes the cummerbund, and below his cummerbund, he's got a bunch of dynamite strapped to his waist. And he says, I spent the last bit of my savings on this device. If the wires are melted or broken, it goes off. It's all connected to a dead man's switch. And if I'm shot or struck or my fingers let go, kaboom. So I'm getting out of here. And whether I take everybody with me or not, you know, Superman, that's up to you. So Superman's trying to figure out what to do. He's like, I can't melt the bomb. I can't tear it loose without setting off the blast. That could collapse the whole building. If I dived at him at super speed, I could probably swoop him up into the sky. The bomb might still go off, but everybody else would be safe, but he would be hurt. And Superman, you know, ever the man who wants to always do the right thing and save everybody, even this criminal, from hurting himself, this selfish, arrogant man, Superman says, well, mister, considering it's Christmas, I'll give you to the count of three. And Superman's kind of bluffing here, right? He doesn't really have a play. But as he's saying that, we see Milton Varney, the formerly homeless man, grab the hand of this would-be bomber and keep his button on the switch. So this Mr. Roland or whatever his name is can't let go, right? So he's not going to be able to blow everybody up. And Milton calls out to Superman, Superman, come on, I'm keeping the button down. Pop this fella and let's get on with supper. And Superman says, my pleasure, with super speed. He, you know, comes right up on Roland and literally just gives him a little flick in the chin with his index finger. And Roland is knocked out, falls to the ground. And the guards evacuate the building. Superman calls the bomb squad. And they make sure that everybody's safe until the bomb squad arrives. So it's not too long before the bomb is disarmed and removed from Roland's waist, and he's taken off by the police. The bomb is placed in a protective box just in case it were to go off. They're all safe from the blast. And Superman says, thanks again, Milt. I couldn't have done it without you. And Milt says, hey, man, this is my city too, and it takes every one of us to make it safe. A man have to be crazy to think he could do it alone, which, you know, is so ironic considering what Superman had been doing just earlier that day, you know, trying to single-handedly stop all the crime himself. And he realizes the wisdom of Milton's words. He said, yeah, I guess a guy would have to be crazy at that. And Milt says, okay, well, thanks again. And Superman's like, well, you know, I'm actually in no rush. Maybe I could stick around and escort you over to the mission after the meal. You know, that way the money gets there safely. And Milton says, sure, but only on one condition. And Superman's like, well, what does this guy need? And he says, I want you to join me for Christmas dinner. And Superman says, you know what? It would be my pleasure, Milt. So then the scene shifts back to the roof of the Daily Planet, where Lois has been relating the story to George. And she says, being alone can be difficult, but Christmas and life, it's what you make it. And George comes down from the ledge and he says, you know what? I guess you're right, Miss Lane. And maybe with a little luck and some hard work, I can have a Merry Christmas after all. And Lois says, you know what? We both will, George. I'm meeting someone later, but I've got a couple of hours free. You know, why don't we grab a cup of coffee and talk some more? I'd love to hear more about you. And George says, you know what? I'd like that a lot, Miss Lane. And she responds by saying, please, George, call me Lois. So again, I think it's a good story. It's a good reminder that a lot of us struggle this time of year. Loved ones that we miss, especially if you're alone and you don't have anyone to share that loss with. You know, it's very natural this time of year for our thoughts to turn to those that aren't around. But like Lois says, you know, life is what you make it. So, and Christmas time as well is what you make it. So make new friends, make new acquaintances. And again, I know it's tough this year, and maybe you have to do it responsibly in a socially distanced way, or, you know, virtually over Zoom or Google Hangouts, you know, over the computer, something like that, to where you can have a little bit of interaction and fun. But reach out, you know, if you're struggling, reach out. There's plenty of people out there who, you know, are kind of in the same boat as you, and the interaction, the human interaction and sharing things that you love with other people, that's sort of what makes life worth living. And like Lois says, life is what you make it. Christmas time is what you make it. And you can make it a good one. Even if you are home alone in your house, stuck there quarantining or what have you. Now we live in the day of social media. You can get on Twitter, you can get on Facebook, you can get on Instagram. And I know they can be tough places sometimes. And there's a lot of vitriol out there, but there's a lot of good too. There's a lot of great communities. I mean, I love the comic community on Twitter. I love responding to things that people say or to artwork or, people asking questions or reminiscing about old story arcs or books or getting excited about upcoming projects. You know, you can talk to the creators. You can share your love of things on there. And even though it's not the same as a human interaction and interacting with somebody, you know, in person, it's something. It's a way to share something of yourself and take in what others are sharing. So, again, there's a lot of different outlets. There's a lot of way to share your passions. And my heart goes out to anybody who's alone this Christmas. If you're struggling, you could even reach out to me. You know, let's talk about some comics. Let's talk about some Superman. I love talking to listeners. I love talking to people who enjoy what I do, whether that's you telling me about your favorite holiday stories or how you got into collecting comics, you know, all that kind of stuff. I've even had listeners in the past who've become friends. I've had listeners in the past who've come on the show to talk about their secret origin of how they started collecting comics or their favorite convention moment or meeting a creator. I'd love to talk to people. You know, it's part of the reason I do what I do. So I'm there for anybody who's struggling and who's alone this holiday season and wants to kind of share in some Christmas joy and some Christmas fellowship. Love to hear people's stories. Everybody has a story to tell. I firmly believe that. And everybody should be reading comics. I firmly believe that as well. And it's really a community that's close-knit. And, you know, if you're listening to this, it's probably because you like comics. And we have that in common. We have that common ground to start from. And who knows what kind of conversation can bloom from that. So, again, I want to wish everybody a healthy and a safe holiday season. Merry Christmas, if that's what you celebrate. If you celebrate another type of holiday around this time of year, I hope it's joyous and brings you happiness. We all deserve some happiness after this year that we've all had. So again, I want to thank everybody for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.